You may have seen it already. Perhaps you're one of a growing number of people who enjoys seeing it every December. I'm about to tell you the story of my ugly Christmas tree. About 11 years ago, I had this brilliant idea. This year, we're going to make a proper family memory. We're going to go out into the forest, Natural Resources Wales approved, of course, and we're going to find a tree and we're going to chop it down ourselves, and it's going to be picture perfect, the sort of thing that you might expect to find in a Hollywood Christmas film. So off we went to our local forestry commission place. We walked around for what felt like an absolute age. And if I'm honest, the trees were disappointing at best. There were bald patches, there were thin branches, there were needles already falling off, even though the trees were still in the ground. But I was determined. I was going to find, in that sea of mediocrity, a good one. And as we spent about an hour travelling around, looping around this patch of trees, slowly but surely, other folks were coming and choosing and taking away. And then I finally spotted what I'd convinced myself by this point was a quote-unquote nice full tree. Charlotte, of course, she's more discerning than I am. She wasn't convinced at all. But I was in too deep. I was far too into and committed to what we'd already begun to give up now. So, right till the bitter end, I was unwilling to admit defeat. We paid the measly price, we took it home, and confidently I told my family, "Don't worry, once I put the lights and the tinsel on, it'll look great." 5 minutes after this photo was taken, this tree was thrown out of the back door, and we as a family jumped in the car, we drove straight to B&Q, and we bought a proper one. But now here's the thing about that tree, that very tree. Each and every year, as Facebook memories unsurface, I share it, and it's a little bit of self-deprecating humour that I had decorated that awful, ugly, sad little tree. But it brings a smile. It brings a bit of joy, if even for a moment, to a pretty significant number of people's faces. We look back at that picture every year, and there's no getting away with it. It is shocking. It is pathetic. And yet, for some of us, we love it. Not because it's a good Christmas tree, not because it's a beautiful Christmas tree, not because in and of itself it has anything that is lovable, but because collectively we have decided to love it in spite of its unloveliness. And now I've rambled on about that for about 3.5 minutes, because I think that that Christmas tree is a pretty good picture every year to you and I of God's love for us. Part of the Christmas story is that Christ came into the world to save sinners. That God has loved us enough to give us his only son, not because we are lovely, but because in spite of our unloveliness, he has chosen to love us. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 2, very familiar passages and portions of the Nativity story. And we've seen, haven't we, I hope, what a messy story it is. Cast your minds back to the last weekend in November, and John was looking at the genealogy of Jesus. And it included names and situations that, you know, any self-respecting family tree would not include. It was messy. It was dirty. It was embarrassing. We read the circumstances around Jesus' birth, that there are suspicions about what has been going on. There are scandals kind of doing the rounds. There are false assumptions being made about people. Again, it's a messy story. Then We read about the coming of the Magi, and in particular, the reaction of King Herod, Herod the Great. But it's a world we find that is confused and hostile and bloodthirsty and treacherous when it comes to God. Christmas is miraculous, but it's not by any sense of the imagination magical, as we expect Christmas to be now. Christmas is glorious, but that coming of Christ into our world certainly wasn't social media worthy and shiny and bright and nice. It's fitting, actually, that when God chose to enter into human history, it wasn't the picture-perfect Christmas market photo opportunity. It was an utter mess, warts and all, and it ought to have been. Because truth be told, we are more like this tree than we would like to admit. Most of us like to present this version of ourselves that is pretty, is perfect, is social media worthy. There's a patient version of us. There's a cheerful version of us. There's a stoic and strong version of us. There's a sorted out, nothing is too much trouble version of us. And yet inside, we carry weaknesses. We carry regrets. We carry shame. We carry sin. You and I, in Christmas tree terms, are like this Christmas tree. Broken branches, missing needles, crooked bits that we'd rather hide. And the first Christmas speaks to us, "Yes, says the Lord, I see all of that, and I come for you." Jesus entered a messy world for messy people. But here's the really important thing for us to remember this morning, is that God's love comes to us before our beauty. The Christmas truth is the one that we found when we were looking at Paul's letter to the Romans a couple of months ago. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this, that while we were still sinners, Christ came for us. God doesn't love us because we are lovely. God loves us, and that makes us lovely. Can I give you another example from the Nativity story? We've largely been looking at Matthew's Gospel, but we read of some other characters not included there in Luke's Gospel. And those characters are the shepherds. Now, shepherds have a rich history in Scripture. There's Moses. He was a shepherd before he encountered God at the burning bush. There was David. He was a shepherd before he was anointed to be king over the people. But shepherds never really took on this status, this kind of like social worth and value. To be a shepherd wasn't something that anybody ever really aimed for. In fact, by the time Jesus arrived, they were considered unclean, unreliable, and they were essentially excluded from polite society because of the work they did. But this is what we read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, that there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Lord. He is the Messiah." And I know for you and me, it's just a familiar part of the old Nativity story. It's been enacted up and down the country dozens, hundreds, thousands of times this year, and it is year after year after year. But what we just read there should strike us as remarkable. That the good news of the coming of the Saviour wasn't first proclaimed to priests. It wasn't first proclaimed, "I've got good news for you, everyone who adheres to the faith." They didn't bring and declare this news to the most charitable, the most gracious in the land. The news came to who? It came to people who needed it. People who were scared. People who were broken. People who were proud. people who were otherwise lost, people who didn't have CVs and references to brag about. They weren't loved because they weren't lovely. And yet here we have God in his kindness loving them. And that's the gospel. That is God's grace. And we get to see it and remind ourselves of it and bathe and bask in it at Christmas. You see, the baby who was born there in the city of David was announced to be a saviour, the Messiah, the anointed one, the rescuer has come. As Christians, we don't only celebrate the manger, do we? But we remember too the cross, that the baby who took on our weakness would grow up in order to carry our weakness. The child who is wrapped in a cloth's hue would one day be wrapped in a linen shroud. The Saviour announced to the shepherds would become the Lamb of God, sacrificed in order to take away the sins of the world. You see, Jesus didn't just come to be in this mess with us. Here is the even more wonderful, unbelievable, glorious news of Christmas, is that Jesus came to deal with our mess, to forgive us, to restore us, to begin the work of making us and all things new. The love that he brought down was the same love that carried him to the cross, is the same love that is offered to each and every one of us by faith in him. Christmas and the joy it brings, the hope it brings, the peace it brings, shouldn't be fragile, therefore, as if somehow we can mess it up. All we've already brought to the equation is our mess. The peace, the hope, the joy of Christmas is based on this Saviour, the Son, who with the Father and the Spirit has chosen to love us in spite of our unloveliness and has done what is necessary to make us lovely. So here's an invitation for you this Christmas. This is, I guess, my Christmas morning gift. Let Jesus love you. See, the world will keep on telling you that you need to smarten yourself up, or you need to put on a mask and a pretense in order to be loved. That isn't Jesus. That isn't God. That isn't the grace that we go on about so much at Amford Evangelical Church. In spite of the difficulties that you've encountered this year, in spite of the guilt that you have taken on yourself this year, in spite of the shortcomings that you have noticed this year, God doesn't throw you out. God draws near. God offers to make you his own. God says, I have come even for you. So in the midst of opening gifts this Christmas morning, why not open our hearts to him and say, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for loving me. Come into my life and make me new. See, that is the greatest gift of Christmas. We are loved. Not because we are beautiful. We're not. We are ugly as sin. And yet, we are loved because he has loved us. Amen.